Friends, this evening we are going to take our teaching lesson from the book, the Epistle to the Galatians, chapter 5. And I'm going to read a few verses and then we come to our topic. From verse 1, it says, "Stand fast, therefore, in the liberty wherewith Christ has made us free, and be not entangled again with the yoke of bondage. Behold, I, Paul, say unto you that if ye be circumcised, Christ shall profit you nothing." And our topic for tonight is walking in the Spirit. Walking in the Spirit. And you may, Adi Ayabe, Gibe Yadisuyano, Yasun did say, "Say ye nanti wa hum hum. Ye nanti wa hum hum." And who has seven apart, Elkano, Galatians chapter 5. Now, say, what has my Paul, we can in Nana, the Okan Kosia, and he said, "Well, catch ye in Kof, where he said, salvation is by grace and not by works." So they should rely and trust in only what Christ has done, because they were being deceived by the Judaizers that they need to be circumcised as a means of their salvation. So Paul started to explain all these things to them, and then in the end, he came to our topic, that it is only when you are walking in the Spirit that you will be able to overcome the flesh. So that is what Apostle Paul is doing here. So you can see the Galatians 5 is rooted in Apostle Paul's defense of Christian freedom or Christian liberty. Because as Christians, we are free. Christ has died for us. There's nothing we can do again. He has done all that it takes for us to have relationship with God. There's nothing that we can do to please God. So we have liberty. We are free. But if you don't understand this liberty, you will be deceived. And then as it was happening here, the Judaizers were confusing them that they need to be circumcised as a way of salvation. So it is his defense of their freedom. It is the rejection of legalism that means by works. Do this, don't do that, don't do that, don't do that, and you please God. He's telling them that that's not what will please God, but in their faith in Christ and what Christ has done alone. So he was addressing them in that order, and because he knows them to be false teachers. They said that the Gentiles must follow their laws before they can be saved, and Paul knows that that is not true. So this letter basically was to address that issue, to defend their freedom, and also to reject the idea of legalism. So we see that he opens it with a very practical and powerful declaration in verse 1. Look at what he said, "Stand fast, therefore, in the liberty," that is in your freedom, "wherewith Christ has made us free, and be not entangled again with the yoke of bondage." So when you are painting, oh, the Yesu, I am a mamma, I'm a mamma, and Adam. Number one sign for share or smart, the yoke of bondage now can hear or so. So, that's a good deal, and manager for share or smart view. I will give you some young. So, he said, don't entangle again with the yoke of bondage. The yoke of bondage here refers to the Old Testament ceremonial law. That's what the Apostle Paul is saying here. When he said the yoke of bondage, he's talking about the Old Testament ceremonial laws, particularly the circumcision. And that's why they were telling them to be circumcised before. So these false teachers were trying to impose this on the Christians. Even though Christ has died for them, they are free. That's why Christ said, "If I set you free, then you will be free indeed." He has set us free already. There's no need to go back to the law. But they were being deceived that without following that, especially the circumcision, they are not truly saved. Then when we come to verse 3, here Paul is warning them that if they accept circumcision as equivalent to salvation, then they have an obligation to follow the whole law. That's what Paul is saying here. If they accept that, what they are telling them, as a way of salvation, then they are obliged to follow the whole law. The Paul, I catch you on this. Omo jiti mu se, se ye twa wo ekatia wunti mi nko so ahimanu ma. Na omo so ejidia. And like this, so omo dimra ni nyina so. So they have to follow the whole law. But what does the word say? Cursed is anyone who attempts to follow the law. Bible so che che say no man that obey or so obey dimra so. I didn't hear. They wunti mi ni so. Nobody can obey the whole law, the ceremony, those laws that way. The law is there for you to know your state, for you to know how sinful you are. But it's not like anybody can obey it. So that's why they were teaching the people, and Paul was trying to defend it, telling them that is not true. Because if they agree, then they have to follow the whole law. And that's where they will face the curse, because they can never follow the whole law. We can see that in verse 4, he said that since justification comes by faith in Christ alone, adding works to it makes it useless. That means the grace is useless. Because if you are going to add your works to what Christ has done already, then Christ's death is nothing to you. That's why he said that it will profit you nothing. And the sad thing is that in our world now, apart from true Christianity, apart from we who preach the doctrines of grace, any other religion takes their salvation by works. Roman Catholics, they believe in reciting so many things and then doing this and not doing that. The Muslims also follow a certain rituals. All the other religions, apart from true Christianity, that relies on what Christ has done alone. That's what they are all doing. And it is a curse on all of them. That is what the Bible says. Then in verse 5 to 6, Paul argues that as we believe it, we hope, we are waiting for the hope of righteousness by faith, not by works, but by love. That is our hope. The hope that is yet to come. It is not by works. We can never work to earn that promise. Christ died on the cross of Calvary, so we are justified, we are sanctified, and now we are awaiting for the glory that is yet to come. So that is our hope. And that hope can never be attained through the works that they are talking about, his circumcision and all those things. It can never. It is only by grace alone. And then from verse 7 to 12, this is a serious warning against false teaching. And we must also do. Sometimes some people ask me, why are you always talking about other churches but not your church? Christ, that's how Christ was teaching. He was warning against the Pharisees. After he had taught, he warns against false teaching. And this is what Paul is also doing here. He's warning against false teaching. Because if you teach somebody the truth and you don't warn them about the false one, they will be deceived. The American is a free verse 5, any verse 6, you know. The Paul look at this, a GD 4 day. You see, I did my car, and I said, yeah, change the use of the bar. Now, or the other call and man. Now, your name of Yamna, your shrine, the bra, Adam, follow your sign, your sending Yamna back. Yeah, you hear him. Now, sadly, you won't mean yet maybe I'm a fenya. There's nothing you can do to gain it. I just said, oh, Jesus, we're ready. And you will know who more cross Muslim. And the bit me, I don't. And now, a free verse 7 to 12, Muslim. Now, all born cocoa. If I are 24 and Tetra and Ukraine, now because the very break, I said, I didn't like the BIPTR. Now you have bought and sorry for it, then can you ask him? Because the years to cry or buy and no preaching. Tell me, you're preaching, we are now a bomb coco. Someone shares that and Tetra away. I'm going to cheer away. This is the one show, Mosana. Despite the one watch show, almost like what you had the full ready. Because if I break, you say, more than you pray, almost the end pray. Sorry, you never be ready. People think what we practice here is true. What they also do over there is also true. Like I'm saying, the truth is always one. One is true, the other is false. So Paul was warning against false teachings. And he was warning them especially for allowing themselves to be hindered from obeying the truth from verse 7. And then in verse 9 he says, the false teachers may have seemed persuasive. You see, those who are teaching false, they can persuade you. They are crafty. They may seem persuasive, but that doctrine was like a living. It is a hammer. Sana, all the other churches here, especially the charismatics, they are so crafty, as the last pastor was saying. Look at how they twist meanings of a Bible verses. When God was talking about wisdom and knowledge, see how they describe it. They think it's knowledge for them to know about your future. Is that how? What knowledge is? When the Bible says, the Bible has said that the fear of God is the beginning of wisdom. And then it goes on to say that wisdom is knowledge of God. How we say wisdom is knowledge of God. But look at how they twist it. So if you are not careful, you may believe what they are saying. So it's always important to warn against false teachings. So Paul was warning them that why are they allowing themselves from not obeying the truth? And the false teachers may seem persuasive, but their doctrine was like living. Omar was dead. And so I'm church here, and you be would be a child, if I could see baby. What may be to see actually, Eddie bring when you so. And so we won't say, I could see baby. Son of Paul, a church, my child. And then in verse 10, he reminds them that the one who is troubling them will face judgment. These false teachers will be judged. Let's be patient. A time will come when they will be judged. This afternoon, I was talking to a brother, and I was saying that the reason why Spurgeon was always facing depression was because of false teachings. As a Christian who knows the truth, when people are teaching falsely, it will depress you. And that's what was happening. He was so worried about false teaching that he died at a very early age. So it is very, very dangerous. They can persuade you, but let's have patience. What he's saying here is that they will face judgment. They will be judged. The right time will come. So let them continue deceiving people. One day, the judgment will come. But the good news also is that God has a people that will be saved. No matter their deception, no matter their false teachings, those who are predestined to be saved are going to be saved. But they will face their judgment. And then in verse 11, Paul also, he continued to dismiss. People were saying that, you see the same trick. They were saying that Paul is also preaching circumcision. The same Paul who was preaching against circumcision, they were telling them that Paul is preaching. So Paul is saying that if he preached circumcision, why is he also being persecuted for preaching Christ crucified? Because the main trouble that he had with Paul was that Paul was preaching about Christ who was crucified as the only way of salvation. So if he was preaching circumcision, why would he say that? That's what Paul is telling them. Paul, as someone now can have said, he said, yes, you won't know because it's in fact circumcision. It is not just the Omo Boa, the Omo Kano, and the grave. And then, verse 12, he shows how dangerous their teaching is. These people, their teachings are very, very dangerous. They are swaying many people away and taking all their money, destroying marriages. A whole lot of things are happening in this areas, the false teachers. Then, he comes to our topic for tonight, from verse 13 to 26. Here, he is talking about walking in the Spirit. All what he's saying is that the only way to avoid all these things is to walk in the Spirit. That is the only way you'll be able to also not walk in the flesh, so that the false teachers cannot get you. Or for you to do things that are not pleasing to God, you must walk in the Spirit. That is what Paul is saying here. So all what he has said earlier on, say for you to be able to do them, you must walk in the Spirit. Now, Paul, after all these things, then he switched to the practical application of the Christian liberty. How to live as a freed Christian, a Christian who has freedom. How should he live? What he said in verse 13, he said, freedom in Christ is not an excuse to indulge in sin. When you say you are free, that doesn't mean that you should use your freedom to sin. But rather, it is a call to love and serve one another. Because he said that the whole law hangs on this. love, thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. The power I cannot hear is there. So I can't say a kiss of war. Yes, I give more free if you give more free. And then just say, I didn't 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 say, I they must walk by the Spirit to avoid gratifying or satisfying the desires of the flesh. They all can then make us say, "Oh, can't say we are." No, but do share and say, "My yeni honam no so." Them we yeni honam no so. If they would do honam no so, I say, "Ne, I bet you say they would do honam no so." And near ma, the diba wa brabu. And he say, "Would do honam no so, honam the diba wa brabu." He will talk about the result of living in the flesh and the one of living in the Spirit. Then from verse 19 to 21, here he contrasts the works of the flesh with that of the Spirit. Here he talks about the works of the flesh, and he names them adultery. That is what he's saying. If you live by the flesh, these are the things that you do. These are the results. These are the fruits that you are going to bear, as we learned in the morning. Adultery, fornication, uncleanness, lasciviousness, idolatry, witchcraft, hatred, variance, emulations, wrath, strife, seditions, heresies, envyings, murders, drunkenness, revelings, and such like. The all can say, so what do you know next year? And then these two things, you know, once you were a mamma, will be our only, and that's only to know, or will be our leader. And you are our say is the adultery. And then we have a near my ammonia or cleanliness, a near my eating, lasciviousness, or brafun, idolatry, abusum, ceremony there, or some reality culture, any reality tradition, any witchcraft, abeism, or spiritism near the idea. Anything before you know, ask another for it, no. It's all spiritism. All what they are doing there is spiritism, and it is witchcraft, is idolatry, hatred, or time, any yimu variant, any celebrity. Ah, ni na no. What can you say? Omo omo yet any man ni na no. Omo timingo oyokopo ayaman. In verse 21, is that those who live in these things will not inherit the kingdom of God. So you see what Paul is saying now. If you live by the flesh, you can never go to the kingdom of God. If you live by the Spirit, you will bear fruits. And he's going to show also that. So now here, he's showing the contrast between living by the flesh and living, walking in the Spirit. And he said, and then he goes on, he said, on the other hand, the fruit of the Spirit, as I said in the morning, remember I said that it is not fruit, even though you see many virtues, but it is the fruit which bears all those virtues. And what are the virtues? The virtues are love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, odor, energy, asundria, peace, patience, long suffering. So want to go here, wabutre, gentleness, goodness, and faith. When we say we have to say only abutra, can be a fool, especially a fool. I won't say anger to a sin. If you act according to your anger, you sin. So you need all these things to check you: patience, long suffering, goodness, and then faith. If you live the life, if you walk in the Spirit, these are the fruits that you are going to bear. So, if I have to summarize the Galatians chapter 5, as I've already enumerated, first is to stand firm in the freedom of the gospel. The gospel of God's redeeming grace. Christ has died for us. He has done all that we need. We are justified, even though we are sinners, we are justified. So we are free. And we are free from all the legalisms, the laws and all those things. So we must stand firm in that freedom. Then we should reject salvation by works. We can never be righteous before God by our own works. So basically what he's saying, stand firm in the freedom of the gospel, reject any work-based righteousness. And then he said, true Christian freedom leads to holiness. See, your freedom must not be to sin, but rather to holiness, not lawlessness. Don't say, because I'm free, I can do whatever I do. Some people say that, especially the young ladies, when you meet them and you're talking to them, oh, Greg, this is, no, not for me. It's not in my body, it's in my tongue. But what is in your, it's what comes out, isn't it? So here he said that your freedom must not let you lead life of lawlessness, but rather holiness. And then the fourth thing is that he said it is marked by love and the fruit of the Spirit. See, your freedom must be marked by love and the fruit of the Spirit. Those who walk in the Spirit will bear godly fruit. Simple. And those who live by the flesh will bear wicked and evil fruit. So today, as I said, this evening, we are going to discover how important it is to stay in line or walk with the Spirit, which is our main topic for now, to walk by the Spirit. But to walk by the Spirit, friends, we must keep in step with the Spirit. Amos 3 verses says, can two walk together except they be agreed? To be able to walk with the Spirit, you must move with the Spirit. And some of us may not go on and answer no. Now, as I said, we need money. Now, we need no. And now, Apple, right? He said, the Amos who can say, "Say, if I be a newbie, and many are giving back, I'm going to give me an answer." So, no, be a young junior, which means an answer. If you show me your friend, and I will show you your character. Say, what else? Maybe I won't pass, which means an answer. I just don't possess the band. So, to walk with the Spirit, we must also be in step with the Spirit, so that we can live the life that Paul is talking about, so that the flesh does not consume us and will be able to control the lust of the flesh. So when we say walk, in the Bible, walk is always a symbol of practical daily living. When you say walk in the flesh, walk in the Spirit, or walk with the Spirit, it's a symbol of daily living. And as we all know, this implies progress. You walk forward, isn't it? When you are walking, obviously you move forward. In the same way, when you are walking in the Spirit, you also move forward. You grow in it. Walking also means living differently than we did before we were saved, as we learned in the morning. This walk in the Bible means living differently. As you said, the Anapai is here and say, oh, see, yeah, you won't come. What about this son? And we said, they're not with you. To see us, so see, any home, who's only a 90 year. Now, as you said, as I said, also, so they're not with you first, you know, yes, I know with you. I quite now announced a TV at him. You know, see how the TV is. And the Ephesians 4 verse 17 said, this I say, therefore, and testify in the Lord, that ye henceforth walk not as other Gentiles walk, in the futility of their mind. Don't walk as the Gentiles. You are walking, you are now walking with the Holy Spirit. And this walking in the Spirit was a promise by God from the Old Testament, from Ezekiel chapter 36, verse 26 to 27. I'll read it to you. He said that, a new heart also will I give you, and a new spirit will I put within you. And I will take away the stony heart out of your flesh, and I will give you an heart of flesh. And I will put my spirit within you, and cause you to walk in my statutes, and ye shall keep my judgments and do them. This one, I wish Mr. Asumani was reading it. I don't know, but let me see how I can explain to you. Through the prophet Ezekiel. Now I say, me ma wo akoma foforo na me de honhom foforo e be hye wo mu na me yie akoma denden no akoma na ayese ebuo no afri woni padua mu na ma ma wo akoma a ye papa na me de me honhom e be hye wo mu na ma wotimi anante masem so and you keep my judgment. Obedina for asemo. Obeso wache se sani ma wo ina onu na odi sako hunhun ni ebe hye wo mu. Na ma wotimi adina kemo so. Without him we can do nothing. So here was a promise from the Old Testament that God will give us his spirit in the last day, because he knows that we are going to battle with the flesh. So he will give us this to fight against the flesh so that we can be able to please him. So from verse 15 to 18, as we have said, it is to keep us from falling by the deceptions of the flesh, the deceptions of false teaching and all that. And according to Paul, when we live by the flesh, bad things happen. When we live by the Spirit, we see good things. And as we have seen already in the Galatians account. But as I said, we can never create that fruit. We can never create it. Especially, can you create love? Can you create joy? Can you create patience, gentleness, faith? No. You can never accept the Spirit. That's why God said that he put his Spirit in our hearts, and then we will not go contrary to the Spirit to follow the flesh. Here, our pastor is talking more about the Spirit and the fruit. So I want to have a few points to make here, but because he's already talking about that, I don't want to go so much into it. But like I said, there are fruits that we can never bear. For instance, you can't create love, joy, long suffering, patience. There's nothing that you can do. But you can have them by living according to the Spirit. And according to the Spirit means this is the real Christian life. This is what we call the true practical Christian living. That is what this whole walking in the Spirit means. Walking as a new born-again person, living practically with the rules of scriptures. And that is where you can have this fruit, or this fruit and all that it entails. So, the fruit has been given to us by God, as I'm sure by next week our pastor, at least there are so many gifts, but according to 1 Peter chapter 4 verse 10, every believer has a gift. Every believer has one of the gifts. Last time he explained the gifts, those that are no more and those that are still pertaining. Every believer has one of the gifts. He said that every man has received the gift, even so minister the same one to another as good stewards of the manifold grace of God. That is what first I said here. Manifest, use the gift that God has given you. And then in Romans chapter 12 verse 1, 1 Corinthians, they are all talking about how to use the gifts that God has given you. So after explaining this, I'll go straight to the steps to walking in the Spirit. I'm sure if the other time when we went to the zoo, there was a young man selling in front of the park, the forest, and he was selling some books. And some of them, if you look at the heading, 10 steps to fight the devil, seven steps to riches. How many steps to this? Not a single showing that steps to holiness, steps to walking in the Spirit. They are always things that are personally to the person, nothing that pleases God. So here we are going to see how to live a life of walking in the Spirit, the practical way of walking in this. There are so many of them in scriptures, but I've chosen the book of Romans. Romans deals so much with this exercise. So we'll take a few lessons from, we'll do some readings, even though we don't have enough time. We'll try to see what we can do. In Romans chapter 8, verse 4, if you can quickly turn there. Anyway, let's start from verse 3 so that we can do. For what the law could not do, in that it was weak through the flesh, God sending his own Son in the likeness of sinful flesh, and for sin condemned sin in the flesh, that the righteousness of the law might be fulfilled in us, who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. So you see what he's saying here. The righteousness of the law might be fulfilled in us, who walk not after the flesh, but so it means those who walk after the flesh cannot fulfill the law. But those who walk after the Spirit will be able to fulfill the law. So there's no shortcut to up to how to walk with the Spirit. But like I said, walking in the Spirit is the practical Christian life. It means you are walking according to the laws of God. And it is only God through the Holy Spirit that will enable you to do this. And then you won't be gratifying the sins of the flesh. So walking in the Spirit is the central symbol for describing what it means to live as a Christian. That is the practical, typical Christian way. That is the walking in the Spirit. Then in verse 5, to take time, so let me just be reading a bit of them so that we can go on. In verse 5, we are told to set our minds on things of the Spirit, not on things of the flesh. Set your minds on the things of the Spirit, not that of the flesh. And now the question is, how do we set our minds on the things of the Spirit? How do we do it practically? I will also ask you a question that will answer this reading. It's something that I read from another reading. So he said, how can someone extract all the air out of a drinking glass? The air in a drinking glass, how can you extract it? And he gave the answer. He said, the most direct way to get all the air out of a glass is by filling it with something else. It's when you fill it with water, all the air will go, isn't it? There's no way you can get all the air from the glass. But when you fill it with water, then all the air will come. In Romans chapter 8, verse 5, you know, I can. Let me just say, now, and we are anything, a crown bearer, you pass me again, you come home. And let me just say, so who can say, and from our glass, now, because we're in from any free glass, no more. Then I'll be here, who bring you from any free glass. Now, because I just say, who is your room? Who didn't sue FTL glass? Not any, not free. In the same way, so also, who can say, obey, and then, ma. And so on your money. Mahun Kunkono and Yahoo the only enam on our only evidence. Fill your mind with the Spirit of God and the air will go out. The same way as we're talking about the glass. And that is what Paul was saying in Galatians 5:22-23. If you live by the flesh, you will obey it. So if you live by the Spirit, the flesh cannot come in. If you fill the glass with water, air cannot come in. That's what he's saying. And I say, put to death the deeds of the body by the Spirit. Romans chapter 8, verse 13. Put to death the deeds of the body by the Spirit. The same thing Apostle Paul is saying here. Kum ohunamuno enyumano. Over there, no kunu. I just said, what the home. So Galatians 5 verse 19 going, and then you come to the, so if you are living by the spirit, the flesh is dead. But if you are living by the spirit, by the flesh, the spirit is dead. You see, when you are saved, you now have two spirits. Your old self is there, your new self is there, but supported by the Holy Spirit. So the more you incline towards the Holy Spirit, the more you weaken the old self. The more you are able to do away with your sins. So you must live, put to death the deeds of the body by the Spirit. It's only the Spirit that can help you to put away the things that you do which are not pleasing unto God. Like I said, the person who has been regenerated, as we said in the morning, is not stuck in sin. By the Spirit, the pull of the flesh can be resisted. With the Holy Spirit, you can resist the flesh that is trying to attack you, that is trying to draw you back to your sin. That is the only way. Without that, it will be easier for the flesh to take you. So what must you do? You must never say no to the Spirit. Live by the Spirit. Listen to the Spirit. And you will not gratify the sins of the flesh. Then in verse 14, he said, be led by the Spirit. Be led by the Spirit. We are to be led by the Spirit. And we know that the Holy Spirit, from the beginning, he convicted us of our sins and pointed us to Christ. It is the same Holy Spirit who guides us, who protects us, who helps us in our infirmity. Christ said when he was going, he said he will send the Holy Spirit, who will be our comforter, to come and help us and direct us in all that we do, in our prayers, in our understanding of the scriptures, in everything we do. Let the Holy Spirit lead us. And how does he do it? He does it through the word. That is why we say we must read the scriptures. Read the scriptures, and you'll be led by the Holy Spirit. 2 Peter chapter 1, verse 20 to 21 talk more about that. And we are to prayerfully, carefully, and humbly apply the word of God in our lives. When we come for Bible studies, whatever we learn is not just to learn. We must try and pray for grace to be able to apply them in our lives. We don't even know how to pray or what to pray for. Yesterday, a lot of was said about this, but the Holy Spirit helped us in our infirmity when we allow the Holy Spirit to lead us and direct us. How does he help us? I've already said, in our prayers, in our Bible reading, in our understanding of the Bible, being able to apply what we hear from the pulpit in our own lives. Also, we must know the Father. We must know God as our Father by the Spirit. That is what he said in chapter 8, verse 15 to 17 of the same Romans. He talks about knowing God as our Father, taking him as our Father. See, yeah, Papa, any onyankopon. And without the Holy Spirit, we will never know our freedom and our identity as God's people. Without the Holy Spirit, we will never know. We will always live in last time I was teaching, I was telling you how, because of lack of knowledge, we are not able to apply God's promises in our lives. It is the Holy Spirit that can help us to apply all these things in our lives. So we should know God as our Father, and that can be done through the Holy Spirit. And the Holy Spirit, what he does in knowing God as our Father is that he acts as a go-between. You see, who takes our place of slavery and fear and bring us into a place of adoption and acceptance. You know, we have been adopted by God. But how to be able to know this is through the Holy Spirit. He helps us to cry out to God, like I said, in our prayers. He helps us. And he testifies with our spirit that we are God's children. Or no, may you say, Emma. And we must also hope in the spirit. And see, in that form, Romans 8, verse 22 to 25. You can read it, but later on you can read. In verse 23, he said, we ourselves, who have the first fruits of the Spirit, grown inwardly as we wait eagerly for adoption as sons, the redemption of our body. Here, what Paul is saying is that because of the Spirit in us, we are waiting eagerly for the return of Christ. As I mentioned in the morning, every true Christian, every true born-again Christian, you are waiting for adoption as sons, the redemption of our body, when our bodies will be redeemed and will go and live with God in heaven. And it's all done by the Holy Spirit. It is through the Holy Spirit that we are able to do all these things. I have a few more, but I think our time is going. I've already talked about praying in the Spirit, Romans 8, verse 26 to 28. We must pray in the Spirit. Why should we pray in the Spirit? It's because we are weak. It's because we don't even know what to pray for. And the Bible says it is the Holy Spirit which shows us the manner we should pray, how we should pray, and like I said, we will repackage our prayers and make it acceptable unto God. And he said he joins us when we are struggling to know how to pray by interceding for us. This is where people take it to be like tongue speaking. It is not so. But he stirs your mind. That's why he calls it groaning. You can't hear groaning. But he helps to put it in your mind for you to say. It is never tongue speaking, as people say. It's not like you just give yourself out and then something will be coming and God will understand. No, he helps you. Especially, and it happens to everybody, sometimes you come to prayer, you don't even know what to say. Apart from days when you have some specific things that you want to ask God, there are times that will come and you don't know what to say. In those cases, he helps you by putting into your mind what you say. He says it helps. He helps us. He helps us doesn't mean that he speaks on our behalf. No, he helps us repackage our prayers, make it acceptable. The American is there. And what happens is when that thing is done, the result is that our prayers. The prayer that we pray according to the will of God. Why? Because the Holy Spirit is moving us to pray in that way, according to the will of God. And remember, God has said that if you pray in accordance with my will, I will give you. But how do you pray in accordance with his will? When you don't even know. But the Holy Spirit will help you, teach you to pray in accordance with the will of God, and then God will answer. That is what it means. My time is gone, so I'm not going to waste more time. But all what Apostle Paul is saying here is that we are a freed people because of Christ. And we must hold that freedom. We must stand firm against. We should not allow false teachings to drag us into this world. We should not allow our flesh to take control of our life. We should let the Holy Spirit, the one that was indwelt of us at our beginning, when we became true believers, we were sealed with the Holy Spirit. Let's live by the Holy Spirit. And these are the practical ways of living by the Holy Spirit. I'm sure you may not be able to, but if you go to Romans chapter 8, that it talks about all these things, read it further, and it will explain them to you, how to live with the Spirit and not gratify the lust of the flesh. These are the two things that Paul is talking about in all these things. Don't live by the flesh, live by the Spirit. If you live by the Spirit, you bear fruit, love, joy, long suffering, all those things are things that are pleasing to God. Otherwise, you live by the flesh. Adultery, fornication, all those things, envy, and all those things, and they are not pleasing to God. And he said, those who practice those things can never enter into heaven. So which way do you want to go? Are you going to live by the flesh, or are you going to live by the Spirit? These are the practical ways of living by the Spirit. And then your prayers will be answered, because by the Holy Spirit, you will pray according to the will of God. In our last prayer, let me read this benediction to you from Ephesians chapter 3, from verse 14. For this cause, I bow my knees unto the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, of whom the whole family in heaven and earth is named, that he will grant you according to the riches of his glory, to be strengthened with might by his Spirit in the inner man, that Christ may dwell in your heart by faith, that ye, being rooted and grounded in love, may be able to comprehend with all saints what is the breadth and length and depth and height, and to know the love of God which passes knowledge, that ye might be filled with all the fullness of God. Now unto him that is able to do exceeding abundantly above all that we ask or think, according to the power that worketh in us. Unto him be glory in the church by Christ Jesus throughout all ages, world without end. Amen.